Aim to preach to all that we can and to reach all that we can, and each of us doing all that we can, and leave the results to God. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Perhaps you're looking and you're saying, well, you know, I preached to all I could, I reached all I could, and I did all I could, but I'm not seeing anything. Leave it to God. That's not your job. It's never been our job to save a soul. Did y'all know that? Our job is just to be faithful to obey God. If we're obeying God and he doesn't bring a soul in, praise God. You look at some missionaries overseas, they never get converts coming in, but yet, sir, they're faithful.
Right.
They're faithful. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And so I want to encourage you tonight. You may look and see the results are not what you expected to be. You talked to many, many people this year, invited a whole bunch of people out. None of them came. Leave it to God. I don't want anyone to leave out 2016 discouraged about this person didn't get saved, this person didn't get saved. Leave it to God. Let him have that. Now, of course, we want them to be saved. Hallelujah, we do. But if they don't, we have no control over that. We can't save them. We really can't. And so take your Bibles, go to Mark 16, 15. Stand with me once you get there. And we're going to go and look at the same passage that we started the year off with and give you a few closing thoughts for the year. And I'm going to ask you to read some scriptures to help expedite me as well on certain passages. So get your fingers ready to look at some scripture verses. Amen. Mark 16, 15. Let's read that all together. We'll say the reference, then we'll read the scripture and then say the reference. Here we go. Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, 15. And Father, bless now the next moments that we have together, that you would get all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Mark 16, 15, we preach this, and so I'm not going to go back over this, but Jesus said unto them, he said, go ye. We found out that was who should go, and that's us. He said, go ye. Then he said, all the world. He said, go ye into all the world. That's the where we were supposed to go. And then we saw that he said this down there, and preach the gospel. That is what we were supposed to do. Amen. And then he says this, he says, to every creature. That is the other part of the who. We are to go, but we are to preach the gospel to someone. And that's been our claim all year long. Preach to all you can, reach all you can, eat to all you can. Why? Everybody needs the gospel. I don't care where you go, people need the gospel. They need it in Ukraine. They need it in Africa. They need it in Jamaica. They need it in the Bahamas. They especially need it in America. Amen. They need it in America. And so I want you to be encouraged about 2016 before we go into 2017. Say, preacher, what did we see in 2016? I've got four quick points I want to give you of what we saw in 2016. Number one, we had reception by some of the word. We had reception of some by the word. What do I mean by that? Some people actually received the gospel and got saved. We did have that. Amen. And I want to give you some encouragement. Go to Isaiah 55:11. We had reception of some by the word. Some folks did get saved. This is a very familiar passage to most of us, if not all of us, Isaiah 55:11. And by the way, as you're going over there, think of some of the people that you talked to this year. You say, well, the ones that I talked to didn't receive the word. Well, I want you to read Isaiah 55:11. Notice what it says there. Read it with me. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. If you put it out, God's going to use it. Amen. That's all that matters. If you put it out, God's going to use it. I don't care who you gave it to. God's going to use it for his honor and his glory. And so we had reception by some of the word. But let me remind you that there's not going to be a whole lot of people that's going to receive it. Y'all got that? Not going to be a whole lot of people that's going to receive it. Go over to Matthew 13:23. Because we have endeavored to preach to all we can and reach all we can. Each of us do all we can. I believe that we've labored to do that in this year. Matthew 13:23. And Jesus talking about where the seed went and the hearts that it went to. And read 23 with me. It says, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold and 60 and some 30. And so we all know there are some that have done that. Amen. And praise God for those that have done that. Amen. I'm looking at the Reyeses here. They've not been with us, but just over a year. They have been just a blessing and blossoming. Many others from the start of this church I've seen blossom and bloom, but that's not everybody. That's not everybody. But should we get discouraged and stop sowing seed? No. No, you still sow the seed. We've had reception by some. There was an article I just read here recently, and the preacher was talking about how he had went to this person's house, and there was a teenager there. The teenager, he got to witness to him. Teenager got saved, and he said, why don't you come out and make a public profession of your faith tonight? He said, okay, I'm going to come. He said that night came up, no teenager. Man, so they went back to the house again and tried to get the teenager out, no teenager. Several attempts were made, no teenager. And of course, like most of us, you start getting discouraged and you start thinking, well, maybe they weren't sincere or maybe they didn't mean what they said or whatever the case. And then you get discouraged. You say, well, what's the use? He said several years went by and he was at a university, Tennessee Temple University, preaching a revival meeting. This was years ago. And he said a young man came up to him and said, hey, preacher, remember me? I'm so and so. And he said, I don't remember you. He said, yeah, you remember we were at Ezel's house and you led me to Christ. And he said, it dawned on him. Wow, that's the young man I led to the Lord and I got discouraged about. And the boy went on to say, my dad wouldn't let me come to your church. My dad wouldn't let me come near your church, but I got saved and I went to Bible college and God called me to preach. And I'm a preacher right now. See, we never know what's going to happen when we give the gospel out. Brother Hall had that privilege just a couple weeks ago, door knocking, led a young teenager to the Lord. Teenager said he was going to come on Sunday. Guess what? Teenager didn't come. But guess what? Down the road, we may see that same young man somewhere else. So just because it looks like nothing's happening, something is happening. Why? God's word is not going to return to him void. That's the case. Turn over to Acts chapter 8, verse 39. Verse 39. Not only did this young man in Acts chapter 8 get saved, but he got baptized. Acts chapter 8, you know the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. It said down there in verse number 37, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chair to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now read verse 39 with me. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him, how much? No more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Hey, he didn't see him anymore. But guess what? He got saved. He got baptized. Just because we give the gospel to somebody, we don't see the end result, doesn't mean we stop preaching and reaching and each one of us doing all we can. Never get discouraged of giving out the word of God. It will do what it's supposed to do. I praise God. When I was about a 10-year-old boy, somebody left that track. This was your life in the dentist office. I read that track and I didn't get saved, but I tell you what, I got mighty convicted. And if somebody would have been there on the spot, I would have gotten saved. But I remember that point. I remember that point. And so you never know how God's going to use it. I recall the time that me and my wife had just gone to New Jersey. We had just gotten saved back then. And something happened. We were getting a rental car back. We had took the whole family to church. We had this van and we were going to be late. And I said, well, let's stop over here and use this payphone over here. Cell phones weren't out back then. This is 20 years ago. And so we stopped on the side of the road to use the phone. And as I was about to pick up the phone, it rang. And I looked at the phone. This only happens in the TV. And the phone rang. And just as I was about to answer it, a car came up. Screech. And the lady got out and said, that's for me. On the side of the road, a payphone. I'm from Belgium. Get ready to call these folk. And you're going to call and you say, this is for you on this payphone on the side of the road? She said, yeah, it's for me. And I thought, this has got to be a divine intervention. I'm going to wait till she get off this phone. And I'm going to give her the gospel. And I stood right there until she got off the phone. I told her, I said, ma'am, I don't believe in coincidences. I said, for you to come here to answer this phone and say it's for you, and for me to try to use this phone at the exact same time is no coincidence. And I began to give her the gospel and ask her about her condition of her soul. And she said she was saved, but she said, I think God wanted to relay to me the importance of what you just said to me again. I needed to hear that. I never saw her again. Don't know who she was. But guess what? It was sort of like the Ethiopian eunuch. Never get tired of giving out the word. We had reception by some of the word. Some folks got saved. Others didn't. We have just got to leave it to God. You got to leave it to God. Some are going to get saved. Some are not. Amen. Then we had this. We had rejection of some of the word. Amen. We had some that didn't receive the word. They just flat out didn't receive it. For that, I want us to go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13. Matthew 7 and verse number 13. You know the story here. This is when he says, broad is the way. Dealing with salvation. And notice down in verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to what? Destruction. And how many are going in thereat? And many there be which go in thereat. But notice verse 14 and read it with me. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And how many? Few there be that find it. Hey, that we had rejection of some, but we had reception by others. There's always going to be more that don't receive it than that do receive it. So please don't get discouraged when people don't get it. By the way, did you get saved the first time you heard it? I didn't. I read the tract, This Was Your Life, and it was spelled out plain as can be. I didn't get saved. I went to church almost every Sunday. Well, then the gospel wasn't given out at that church either, though. They baptized me and said I was saved. Go figure. But guess what? Did you get saved the very first time you heard the gospel? I didn't. Not everybody's going to catch it right off the bat. That's why we've got to preach to all you can, reach to all you can, each do all you can. I believe we've endeavored to do that this year, but I don't want you to leave discouraged thinking, well, I did that and nobody got saved. Leave it to God. Leave it to God. There's always going to be reception by some of the word when we preach. There's always going to be rejection of the same word when we preach. More will always not get it than that will get it. But then we have to take this into consideration as well. And we talked about this a couple years ago. There's always going to be some the infection of some by the world. Infection of some by the world. Go to Acts 14. We talked about this in a message that I preached about being evil affected. There's always going to be those that will be infected. There will be infection of some by the world when we preach. Acts 14, read verse 1 with me. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. So Jews and Greeks believed there. Paul and his party went in there, started preaching the word of God. And I mean, they're excited. They just got kicked out of the last town and they're going to go in here and praise God. Let's go and do it. Let it rip. Amen. Reception of the word had already happened. Amen. Rejection's already happened. But wait a minute, there's going to be some infection by the world as well. Notice what verse 2 says. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds what? Evil affected against the brethren. But wait a minute, these folks got saved. The same ones that got saved then got their minds evil affected. And the brethren could not get the encouragement from Paul and his party like they could have because their minds were evil affected. There's going to always be some infection of the world by people when the gospel is preached. And some going to get saved. But guess what? They'll never amount to anything oftentimes because they get infected by the world. Paul had to go a long time, it says down there, a long time, therefore, both they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. You think after the signs and the wonders, they say, oh, signs and wonders. Oh, this is the Lord. He is God. But when you get evil affected, devil's got his way with you. You're about ruined. You're ruined unless you get a hold of God and get that thing cleaned up. Verse 4, but the multitude of the city was divided. Part held with the Jews, part with the apostles. When there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also the Jews, with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe. So now the gospel witness is gone. Why? You had a reception by some of the word. You had a rejection of some of the word. But then you had an infection of some by the world of the same word. Wow. Hey, so when you and I preach to all we can and reach all we can, each of us do all we can, expect it to happen, folks. We're no different than they were in the time of the Acts of the Apostles. We're going to give it out and give it out and give it out. There's always going to be more that don't get it than do get it. So don't get discouraged in giving it out. Continue. Continue. Then last of all, there's a deception of some by the same world when we preach. Deception when we preach. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. Again, as we go out and close this world, close out this year, look back. Some of the people that you witnessed to, you gave the gospel to. Some that made a profession of faith. Some that you don't see anymore. You say, hey, I gave the gospel to these folks. They said they were saved. They came, and possibly they did. But there could have been an infection that happened. There could have been a rejection that happened. We cannot say that they didn't receive it, because possibly they did and just moved. Didn't tell anybody. But deception of some by the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice what it says down in verse number 3. But if a gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Lost. If it's hid, it's hid to those that are lost. By the way, the saved don't need the gospel. We already have it. We just have to give it. We have the power. We have the ability. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We have the gospel. Our job now is to give it out. Reception. So they can receive it. Some are going to reject it, but it won't return void. That's not your job. But others may have an infection of the world. Then these may have a deception by the world. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so there's a deception of some. They're blind. They can't see. And you and I, out of everybody in the world, should understand this. You and I should understand this. Say, preacher, why? Go to Titus chapter 3, and I'll tell you why we should understand this. If nobody else in the world understands this, you and I ought to understand this verse. Titus chapter 3. We're preaching to all we can. We're continuing to reach all we can. Each of us is doing all that we can. Understanding a reception by some of the word is going to happen. But understanding it's going to be more that don't get it than that do get it. There's going to be rejection of some of the word. Then an affection of some by the world, but then deception of some by the world as well. Titus chapter 3, the Bible says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient. What's that next word? Deceived. If we were deceived, you know who deceived us? Satan did. You know what that means? We were blind at one time. We couldn't see. If anybody understands the plight of the world, it should be us. Oh, we become so callous and so hard and say, well, they don't want it. I don't care about it. Wait a minute. That's not how somebody treated you. That's not how somebody treated you. You know, and we've got to understand something. If you've been saved for any length of time, your circle of friends oftentimes does not include unsaved people. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so for you to come across unsaved people, you've got to go outside of your circle to some other people outside of your circle. It could be a neighbor. It could be a friend. It could be somebody at the grocery store, at the community, in the gym. It could be a whole lot of people. We've got to go outside of our circle and understand, I was deceived and I see that you're deceived as well. Let me tell you who saved me. You can't stay in your same circle and expect to win somebody to Christ because everybody in your circle is saved. Can I get an amen? I don't know how we think. Well, I'm going to reach somebody for the Lord, but I'm only going to stay with me and Pastor White and Deacon Perkins and Deacon Hall. Come on, we're going to get somebody to the Lord. But we ain't going to talk to nobody. I can't get them any more saved than they are. And they can't get me any more saved. Well, I'll just stick to my family. You can't get your family any more saved than they are. Now you get them sanctified. Can't get me any more saved. I've got to step outside and realize people are deceived out there. People are blind out there. They can't see. And so we can't stop preaching. We can't stop reaching. Each one of us has got to continue to do this until Jesus comes. Why? People need the Lord. Amen. Deceived. He said we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Give you couple more scriptures and we're going to close. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll close with this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, we have preached. We have endeavored to reach. Each of us has tried to do what we can. And I don't want us to look back and get discouraged by saying, you know what I did and nobody came. I did this and nobody came. I did this and nobody stayed. I did this and this person got saved, but I didn't see him. I gave the gospel over here and nobody came. Hey, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Looks can be deceiving. Looks can be deceiving. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul says in verse number 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. These were all bad things. But notice what Paul reminds the Christians at Corinth of. And such were who? Such were some of you. He said, you were deceived. You were like that. And so if anybody can identify with the lost world, it's you. You know, if anybody can identify with a drunkard, you know who can? I can. Now, if anybody can identify with somebody that smokes cigarettes, I can. You know, if anybody can identify somebody with a foul mouth, I can. You know, I can't identify with somebody who's got a bunch of tattoos on their body. Maybe you can, but I can't. I can identify with somebody who's got 1,000 earrings around their ear. I can't. Maybe you can. But I'll tell you what, there are some people that I can identify with because I was in the same muck and mire that they were in. I can identify with disobedient children. Why? Been there, done that. My kids think they pulled something over. I mean, he pulled nothing over me. I had to take him out and play some basketball with him yesterday. I told Brother O'Brien, I'm paying for it now. Amen. I'm sore. And Joshua had this idea. Dad, is going to be me and G2 against you. So I had to go back in my Jordan days and say, let me tell you what it was like back in the days. And I was doing all my razzle-dazzle, man. And, man, I won and beat them. And afterwards, I was like, oh, my soul, I'm broke down, broke up. I thought, I can't keep doing this no more. Well, you know, I know what they've been through. I know what kids do. We have to be able to identify with that world out there. Now, I'm not saying you get in their sin, but know that you are one step away from being where they're at. The only thing that's keeping me from being a drunkard again is the grace of God. The only thing that keeps me from smoking a cigarette is the grace of God. The only thing that keeps me from using foul language is the grace of God. And so as we preach and as we reach and as each of us do all we can, don't get discouraged by saying, well, where are they at? They said they received the word of God and they're not here. They could be someplace else serving God. Don't give up. Hey, are they going to reject the word? Yes, they are. There's always going to be more that don't get it than that do get it. Don't give up. Did somebody give up on you? No, they didn't. They said, my wife could never get saved. Look at her. Now, why they said that, I'd never know. Because she got saved before I did. You know, if they knew me, they'd say, he ain't going to ever get saved. They know me. Infection of some by the world. They were evil affected. There's always going to be a crowd out there that when somebody hears the word of God, they're going to try and snatch it from them. That's what the devil does. He tries to snatch that word away. Young children, don't be deceived. The word that your parents give you, there's a wicked world out there ready to snatch it away from you. They're trying to teach you the ways of God, and there's a world out there that has no regard for God, and they're going to snatch it away from you. They're going to say, there's nothing wrong with two mamas in the home. Nothing wrong with two daddies in the home. Nothing wrong with homosexuality and all these other. Nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with shacking up and living with someone without being married. Nothing wrong with abortion. Nothing wrong with these things. Hey, young person, just wise up. No, your parents are teaching you the word of God. And you've got to stick with the word of God. There's a wicked world. They want to snatch it away. And you'll be just like deceived. Oh, they think we're deceived. Oh, they think we're blind. Oh, they think we're just naive. Now, to sin, let's be naive. But to the things of God, no. No, never, never. Hey, folks, as we go, as you look back over this past year, the ones that you try to preach to, the ones that you endeavor to reach, and doing all you could, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going. I would say go further. Do more. there's still more people that need to be saved. The ones that you've been working on this year, don't leave them hanging. Say, well, the year's over. You're out of here, buddy. You're just going to go to hell. Sorry about that. I've got a 2017 to worry about. That was then. This is now. So poo on you. Here we go. No, don't leave them. Don't leave them. No, you've been working on them. Keep cultivating. Keep cultivating. Keep working with them. Don't just give them up and leave them hanging. There are more people that still need to hear. Did you hear the testimony? It only took one who got one, who got one, who got one. Peter Kalejo, who got saved here a couple weeks ago. Brother Aaron was one that got him. He came in. He got saved. He's trying to get another one of his friends to come in. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Tina came in, bought her family. One by one, they started coming in. That's what it's all about. One sinner tell another sinner where the grace of God is. Hey, folks, as we close out this year, I don't want you to be discouraged and saying my efforts didn't matter. I preached to all I could. I reached all I could, and I did all I could, and I don't see any results. Oh, only in heaven will we see the results. Don't stop. Don't stop. Continue. Continue. God is going to give the increase. I like the way it says in Acts 2:40. You don't have to go over there, but I'll get over there. And when all the folks got saved there, it says, and the Lord added when? Daily to the church, such as should be saved. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added. Last time I checked, it's the Lord's job to add. It's our job just to give. And as we give, then the Lord adds to the church such as should be saved. The only thing they did was preach the gospel. And folks, we have no greater message than the gospel of Jesus Christ. His death, his burial, and his resurrection for lost mankind. The power of the gospel. There is nothing else that we can do. We've got a lot of fancy things we can try, but nothing is like the gospel. We can sing a song, we can dance, we can tap dance, we can do a whole lot of things, but it's not going to save anybody. It's the gospel. And that's why our job, leaving out of 2016, going into 2017, is to preach to all we can, reach all we can, each of us do all we can until Jesus comes or until we go, whichever the case may be. Amen. By the way, nothing's stopping Jesus from coming. Did y'all realize that? And if you look at society, it's just around the corner. It ain't even around the corner no more. Amen. I think it's on the horizon. Amen. There's so much that's going on right now in our society. We have never seen sin so readily accepted in our society like it is now. Never. Ever, ever, ever. And we have never seen the Bible so silenced in our society like it is now. We have never seen Christians so scarce and so spread out with no voice like now. It used to be being a Christian meant something. And now it's just a byword. You're a Christian. Oh, is that supposed to mean something? It's lost. I like to get back to Acts. They were called Christians first at Antioch. There's something about that group. Like I'm saying, over that shining light, they do something over there. Amen. I've had more people leave this church because they don't like our standards. Well, you make us use the King James Bible, and you say people in positions of leadership got to wear dresses and men got to wear ties and stuff. I mean, look, you don't have to do anything. Right. But if you want to serve my God in my church, that's what you're going to do.
Amen, preacher.
I don't like that. You don't have to like it. Don't serve God. But if you want to serve in leadership, that's what you're going to do. Well, I'm not that. I'll go over to Dell. Let me play the drums over there. Well, you can play the bongos. I don't care what you play. Now, I love people, but I'm not going to lower God's standards just to get a crowd.
Amen.
And it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. But folks have been at me since the first day. Preacher, why don't you lower the standards? Preacher, why don't you lower the standards? Preacher, why don't you give up the Bible? Preacher, why don't you do this? Preacher, why don't you do this? No.
Amen.
So you're wasting your breath. Well, everybody else, I ain't everybody else. Last time I checked, I'm Gregory A. Dawson. Ain't another one like me. Amen. And they probably say, and praise God for it. Amen. I'm just saying, folks, coming up to next year, we've got to continue. We've got to continue. Does God have holiness? Yes, he does. Does God expect us to reach people? Yes, he does. If we're not reaching people, I said it once, I said it again, we might as well close the doors. That's why Jesus left us here, to reach people. That's what he told the disciples. His last command should be our first concern. Please, don't leave 2016 discouraged about who didn't come, about who didn't receive, about who rejected, about who's been deceived, about any of those things. Just trust God to work in and through you to bring about a difference. Only in glory will we see what God is trying to do. Amen. Brother O'Brien, I'm going to ask you to come up and close in a word of prayer. Pastor White, give us any first announcements that we need to have, and then have Brother O'Brien close us out in a word of prayer. Come on, brother.
Amen. All right, let us pray. Lord, our Father in heaven, we thank you, dear God, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this evening. We thank you for this church, Lord. For your children, those that are redeemed by thy blood, Father God, Lord. Those that you've called together, Father, Lord. We thank you so much for the privilege, the freedom that we have, God, Lord, the liberty just to come, Lord, to hear your word openly and freely preached. God, explain to us, dear God, Lord, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, we do pray, Lord, for each family that's represented here. Lord, pray for the church collectively. Pray, Lord, for Brother Dawson, dear God, Lord, as he leads your flock, Lord, into a new year. We ask you, Father God, Lord, by thy mercy, by thy grace, Father God, to please keep, Lord, a light shining, God, at home. God, I pray that you bless each of the saints that are here, Father God. Lord, encourage us in the faith. God, Lord, help us, dear God, Lord, to be light, a salt, testimony, Father, Lord, to a lost and dying world, Father, Lord, whether it be here in Tucson or whether it be overseas, dear God, Lord, in places like Ukraine. Thank you, God, for the privilege to have a copy of your perfect word, for the ministry of thy spirit, God, in each heart and life today. Bless us as we go, Father God, Lord, as we hasten the return of Jesus Christ, God, Lord. We love you. Thank you for him and for his house. Amen.